War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coachin' Four Steakhouse and O'Reilly's Irish Pub. You can find Coachin' Four on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. And O'Reilly's is on 321 South Palafox Street, downtown Pensacola. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And Bill, War Eagle, good morning, sir.
Good morning, War Eagle. And just a quick reminder on the Irish O'Reilly's Irish Pub. That's where the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club has all our watch parties. Obviously, we'll be having two more watch parties for this year for the Texas A&M and the Alabama game. Come and join us. You don't have to be a member of the Alumni Association or anything like that. There's no fees involved. It's just a great place for the orange and blue community to come together and watch a good football game.
Absolutely. And, of course, at Coachin' Four, you can saddle up to the bar, get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. All righty. So we've been kind of starting to implement a little bit of dual coverage here, dare I say, because we always talk about Auburn football, of course, but we've also got Auburn's basketball season going on. And, you know, if they were just some lame team, we maybe wouldn't touch on them so much, but they are actually looking like quite a early favorite in this season, and they just had another pretty dominating win, did they not?
Absolutely. Auburn's ranked number 4 nationally. We arguably have the best single player in the NCAA in Janiah Broome. And we went into the game against North Alabama a couple of days ago as a 30-point favorite, and we covered. We ended up beating them 102-69. It was a great ball game. 5 players and double-digit points, and Janiah Broome was just a monster on the court. He had 17 rebounds, 1 assist, 30 points, and 3 blocks. I mean, it's just, you know, he was a force by himself on the court. It was awesome to watch.
No, I mean, he is. He's already looking like a headlining talent for the Tigers. I saw that stat line. That was unbelievable. But as you said, the depth was crazy. 5 players scoring 12 points or more. But you know, it's North Alabama. We know Auburn's proven. They beat Houston, but North Alabama's a good warm up game for what you guys have coming up next.
Yeah, now we're going to Maui for the Maui Invitational. We're going to be playing. The first game is against Iowa State, which is a ranked opponent. All the brackets have, you know, teams that traditionally are in the tournament at the end of the year.
Successful programs.
Oh, yeah. Right. They're not pushovers. So it's going to be, you know, if Auburn makes it all the way to the final game in the Invitational, they're going to end up playing 4 basketball games. So it's going to be fun to watch that.
Yeah.
It's great, you know, to have the holidays coming up and have some great football games to watch and some great Auburn basketball to watch.
Absolutely. That's why, you know, a lot of people will tell you right when Halloween's over, okay, time to bust out the Christmas tree. Whoa, settle down. Thanksgiving matters too, because this time of year you do. You've got that perfect overlap of football and basketball action here. But yeah, back to the Auburn basketball team. Iowa State, I told you this before we went live this morning. 2 things scare me about them. 1, they're not as battle-tested as you guys are. They have played 1 less game, and they have not exhibited the limit that y'all have. They haven't played somebody like Houston yet. They haven't exhibited the depth that y'all have. So when you combine those matters into this tournament, I really do think like this is y'all's game to lose. And you said if Auburn wins, they'll be facing either North Carolina or Dayton.
If Auburn wins against Iowa State, yeah, the next team would be the Dayton and North Carolina bracket, whoever progresses out of that.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, you're talking about 2 teams that have traditionally good or stellar basketball programs.
Oh, yeah.
Particularly North Carolina.
Yeah, and Dayton's one of those teams. What are they, from the Ohio Valley Conference? And they will. They're a consistent
tournament. They're a basketball school.
Yeah, they're a consistent tournament appearer, as I described it poorly earlier. That's absolutely a great opportunity for Auburn to once again prove, hey, listen, the win over Houston wasn't a fluke. We are for real. We are a favorite. Give us some love and, you know, maybe wear a lay or two in Maui. All righty. So let me ask you, First of all, I don't want to cut you off. Was there anything more about the basketball you wanted to discuss? Okay,
yeah,
I wanted.
We're good. We're good on basketball at least until the next couple of days.
Yeah. Well, early in the season, especially, man, we're sitting here. We're like, oh, hey, good win over North Alabama, and your next game is next week. They've got like a football schedule right now. All righty. So yeah, that Iowa State game will be Monday night. All righty. Looking at the football team here, we've had some struggles. It's been turbulent, but that was not the case this week. We both had Auburn convincingly beating ULM, as they should have. But I think both of us kind of undersold just how unbelievable the offense would be. 48-14 over the Warhawks.
Absolutely. And I'm not knocking ULM, but Auburn put together the best football game I've seen them play all year. It was mistake-free. There were zero penalties committed by Auburn. No interceptions, five touchdowns instead of five interceptions.
Right.
Jarquez Hunter broke 100 yards for the game and broke 1,000 yards for the season. So it was that type of game where all the pieces came together finally. And Auburn looked like what I was expecting Auburn to look like at the beginning of the year. But the biggest thing there was it was a clean ball game.
Yeah.
It was well executed. Everybody did their job. Very little mistakes, few mistakes on the field, and no penalties. That's almost unheard of. I don't know how many teams can say they've played one or more games each season with zero penalties.
No, that was one of the biggest takeaways for me as well.
That's coaching. And
yeah.
So that's where the coaches have finally broken through, and the kids are playing like what they were expected to play. It looked great. It was an exciting game to watch.
Absolutely. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. But, yeah, I mean, I don't care who you are, and I don't care who you're playing. Zero penalties is great. ULM, you talked about how it was a clean game through and through. They only had two penalties for 20 yards, so it's not like they were playing Bush League out there. So, yeah, this was a battle of no nonsense, who's the better team on the field, and it was overwhelmingly the Tigers.
Absolutely. I'm just thrilled to death that Jarquez Hunter got that
milestone,
that 1,000-yard season, two games left to go, and broke 100 yards with less than 20 carries. He only carried the ball 14 times.
It wasn't some game where you were forcing the ball down his throat, no.
Yeah, but, you know, all the chatter this week has not so much about Jarquez Hunter, it's about Coleman. Cam Coleman having three touchdown receptions and making spectacular catches. I mean, that's that one-handed catch in the end zone.
Unreal.
You know, that would have made an NFL highlight reel.
Yeah.
And he's a freshman.
Right. And he and KLS both had 100-yard games, I think, officially.
Yes. Yeah, KLS had 104 yards, and Coleman had exactly 100 yards. KLS had a touchdown. So, you know,
200 yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah,
amongst them.
Productivity. You know, that's what happens when you play mistake-free football, is you're able to produce and you're able to make it look easy.
Yeah.
And I don't want to say it was easy. It when you watch the highlight reel and you see all these big plays that they put in these highlight packages, it made it look easy. And
right.
But that's because everybody out there, linemen, running backs, receivers, everybody played their assignment. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, somebody's going to break out and be successful.
Right.
And it was just really fun to finally watch that happen in real time. And, of course, you know, I've had the luxury of going back and listening to all the chatter and watching all the highlights and absorbing exactly how important it was for all these pieces to come together. I just wished it would have happened a whole lot earlier in the season.
Yeah. I wish it would have happened in a couple other games. But, no, I mean, and I think this has to be – especially thrilling for you, because I mean I've talked about it as well, and I'll just kind of, you know, we'll bounce ideas off of each other here, but you have been a big you've been very vocal in regards to the discipline issues at times, and to, you know what, listen, we just need to try out some of this depth, because not only could we use them later, but we could use them in the next season or two. And the fact that we saw a masterclass in both is phenomenal. That's what you're supposed to do in games like these. ULM, especially this late in the season, when you got a top 15 A&M coming up and the Iron Bowl after that, these games are supposed to be that way. You're supposed to exercise the depth a bit. You're supposed to you shouldn't be committing any penalties against ULM. At that point, it's harassment. So I feel that this was everything the game was supposed to be and then some.
Absolutely. It was a well-executed ball game against a quality opponent. I mean, they were able to score 14 points. They did score a touchdown late in the game with the second or third string defense on the field.
Yeah, at that point, what are you going to do? Garbage points.
A lot of love to the defense.
Right.
We held our first string defense, held them to 7 points, and they had a bunch of three and outs and mm-hmm. punted the ball a lot. Their punter was their best player. And when you can make the other team put the punter on the field on a regular basis, you know you've got a great defense.
Right.
So I'm not too worried about the defense. I was always worried about the offensive performance, and I was always worried about the penalties and the mistakes. Peyton Thorne, we were talking this time last week.
Thought he wouldn't even play.
Thought he was not even going to start. I was thinking Hank Brown was going to start. Maybe Walker White might get some time, and he did get some time.
A little bit, yeah.
But Peyton Thorne played. He obviously was hurting because you could see him rubbing his shoulder a couple of times. But he stepped up and performed. And I think, I think the practices and them practicing Hank Brown and Walker White more with the ones made him look at things a little differently.
Yeah.
And he kept his focus. He didn't look doe-eyed. He didn't look scared, and all the decisions he made were the right decisions. So it was nice to see that.
Oh,
especially
no.
for him. I mean, because, I had high hopes for him. I always liked him. You listen to him in his press conferences and see what he's all about. He's not a bad kid. He just found himself in a bad spot.
Yeah. Just to give some statistical details here on just how much depth Auburn had on the rushing and receiving ends. So, of course, we talked about Jarquez Hunter had a legacy game, so to speak. But beyond him, you had Damari Austin and Jeremiah Cobb. They combined for almost 60 more yards and a touchdown, each one averaging over 4 yards a carry. And then on the receiving game, we talked about KLS and Cam Coleman, of course. They just had a field day. But Malcolm Simmons as well. He added to the carnage. 63 touchdowns. Yeah, we wouldn't be 4-6 right now. 63 yards and a touchdown of his own.
He's a freshman.
Yes, and as you said, these are some young talents as well. Auburn finished the day with 3 receivers, averaging over 10 yards on 6 or more catches. That's phenomenal. Once again, don't care who you're playing. When you know the offensive standard and you know that Peyton Thorne has had the issues that he's had, that means a lot. And it's as positive of a note as you can have coming into a game like the Texas A&M one next week.
Absolutely. Those kind of statistics where those many players have – that kind of performance on the field means that everybody's doing their job.
For sure. You've been listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. We'll take a quick break. When we return, we'll talk more about that Texas A&M game because top 15 team, Texas A&M sitting here saying, hey, whoa, everybody's talking about the Alabamas and Georgias of the world. We're still in the playoff hunt. So we'll get some more details on that. And this, I'll just tell you right now, just a bit of a teaser. Bill and I both agree this is an absolute upset alert for the Aggies. We'll get into why shortly. War Eagle Weekly right here on ESPN Pensacola, brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse and O'Reilly's Irish Pub.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Coaching Force Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated 3-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Coach and Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
War Eagle fans, the Big Auburn Football Watch Party is Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub downtown. O'Reilly's is home of the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club and the perfect spot to root your Tigers on. O'Reilly's with TV screens throughout the bar, delicious eats from pub bites to sandwiches, wings, football platters, and full meal fares. Quench your thirst from a huge variety of beers, beverages, and extensive bar selections. The Auburn Football Watch Party, Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub, 321 South Palafox Street, downtown. War Eagle!
Florida Blue and Egg Fest Pensacola invite you to a healthy grilling celebration tomorrow, 11:30 to 2, at the local Florida Blue Center at 1680 Airport Boulevard. Meet the Florida Blue healthcare team and enjoy watching the expert chefs at work. Open enrollment has started, and choosing the right health plan is simple. When you work with Pensacola's Florida Blue Center, find your health solution at Airport and 9th.
While supplies last, even attendance is required. Parent or guardian must be present with children. Policies and limitations and exclusions. La Crosse Blue Shield of Florida Incorporated, DBA Florida Blue.
This college football moment is brought to you by ServPro.
On October 21st, 2006, Michigan State found themselves down 38-3 with less than 10 minutes to go in the third quarter, and they made that initial deficit like it never even happened, scoring 38 straight points to win 41-38.
Incomplete. The ball game is over. The Michigan State Spartans in one of the greatest comebacks in Michigan State football history.
ServPro, like it never even happened.
Adam Schefter here with Vivid Seats. We've got some late-breaking news coming out of the stands. According to multiple sources, Vivid Seats fans are scoring rewards on every purchase and at a rapid pace. Obviously, these rewards are a game-changer. Coupled with their MVP-worthy ticket selection, why get tickets anywhere else? Don't drop the ball this season. Shop with Vivid Seats and earn rewards on every ticket. And as the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code Schefter. That's code Schefter.
When you enter the world of autism, it can leave you feeling overwhelmed and alone. That's where Autism Pensacola comes in. We guide you through the maze of resources available to families affected by autism in the Gulf Coast area. We also offer programs like Kids for Camp, Sensory Street, Project Lifesaver, and opportunities for support and socializing. Call us at 850-434-7171 or visit autismpensacola.org. We're here for you so you will never feel alone again.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
Sunday in NFL play, the Lions take on the Colts at 11 a.m. Then the Eagles clash with the Rams at 7 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coaching Force Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway and O'Reilly's Irish Pub on 321 South Palafox Street downtown. Bill Clark, Austin Price here in the studio with you. Bill, when we left off, we were talking about, it ought as well have been a Jordan Hare pep rally, it seems like. We were talking about Auburn basketball doing great. We were talking about Auburn football doing great, even better than we had expected offensively against ULM. A lot of depth, perfect discipline, literally perfect. Zero penalties, 0 yards. Now we look ahead to Texas A&M. I don't think I have to tell you that facing a top 15 SEC opponent is different than facing ULM. So we're just kind of hoping that some of this perfection translates. What do you think is going to be the biggest shock, outside of the physicality, of course, of Texas A&M, what do you think is going to be the biggest shock when it comes to how Auburn's functioning right now? Do you think we're going to see less discipline? Do you think we're going to see Peyton Thorne maybe be more reckless? What do you think we have to consider? Let's get the bad out of the way first. What do you think we have to consider against this Aggies team?
Well, first off, we're going to be playing a team that's not only more physical but has – more athletes on the field than ULM did.
That is true.
Size-wise, it's a more closely matched, and they're a better defense.
Oh,
so,
for sure.
The offensive production, the big thing is they're going to have to play disciplined football. They're going to have to keep it simple. Don't make mistakes. If you do make a mistake, don't make it a costly one. Our special teams, that's our weakness. That's our Achilles heel this year. Usually that's a plus for us. So it's kind of weird watching the Auburn football team with mediocre special teams.
Yeah, it's not ideal.
Yeah. Other than punt returns, you know, we really don't have a whole lot to hang our hat on special teams-wise. But this game, with it being a home game and it being a night game at Jordan-Hare, it's going to be cooler. I look for the crowd to be just enormous and very loud and very vocal. It's the last game at home for the seniors, so they've got a lot to play for. So what I see is them going onto the field with riding high off a big win.
Yes.
So they're mentally in a good space. And with it being the final home game of the year, you know, there's a lot of pride they're going to be taking out there on the field with them. And I look for them to continue with the progress they made from last week. Disciplined football, stick to the game plan, play within yourself, and our defense has been great all year. I see them continuing to be great. That's going to be the key to the ball game, is whose defense steps up and takes control of the line of scrimmage.
No, I think you're absolutely right. Because Texas A&M, they've had dips. You know, they had their loss early to Notre Dame. Who cares? I mean, you know, Notre Dame, top 10 team, season opener. It was Mike Elko's first game coaching the Aggies. I'm not going to judge them on that. I'll judge them on losing by 24 to South Carolina. I will judge that. That game got out of hand fast at the end. And that proves that this, even if people want to die on the hill of, well, that butt whooping was closer than you think, it doesn't matter. It still proves that Texas A&M is beatable. It seems like you and I are not the only ones who think so. Texas A&M is only favored. This is one of the big head turners of this weekend in the SEC. Texas A&M is only favored by 2.5 points going to Jordan-Hare. You were talking about the psychological slash emotional slash mental, whatever word you want to use, when it comes to being at home and having this big win that you're coming off of, it being senior day. Texas A&M's looking ahead, perhaps, to a rivalry game that has not only implications in the SEC, but also in the playoff seeding.
Absolutely. It's been 11 years since they played Texas. So I do believe that they are kind of looking ahead. Just you and I discussed pre-show about the press conference their coach had, and he had a little Freudian slip there where he said our next game is, you know, we're looking forward to playing Texas. Oh, I mean Auburn, you know.
Oh, gosh.
If that's indicative of what they've been thinking about during practice this week, then they may not walk into that game with their head in the right place.
Yeah.
But then again, it could be just what I said it was, just a Freudian slip.
Right.
I don't believe that they prepare themselves any differently than anybody else. They're preparing for the team they're facing every weekend.
Right.
So
Elko's a good coach. That's how he should be coaching.
Oh, and they're a great ball team. They got a lot of speed. They got a lot of depth. South Carolina exposed their defense a little bit.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping Auburn learns something from that.
And hopefully
can replicate it. So,
well, South Carolina is in a position where people are now talking about them being a playoff team. And look, they're number 18, I think. I think that's their official seeding. They're 7-3. They just beat Mizzou, who for whatever reason is still ranked. Don't even get me on that hill. But they played Alabama tough in Tuscaloosa. They barely lost to LSU, and they had quarterback issues in that game. So they're sitting here saying, whoa, 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 whoa. Look at what we've done. Look at how competitive we've been. If we can beat a ranked Clemson, we may be a playoff team if chaos ensues ahead of us. So I see that as groundwork for justifying Texas A&M getting the snot beat out of them by the Gamecocks. That is what that looks like to me. And I think we are in a position now where Auburn is hopefully learning from that and can now play spoiler here, not just killing Texas A&M's playoff hype, but also it could hurt South Carolina's because it's going to make your win not over the Aggies not look as impressive. So there's a lot riding on this for multiple SEC teams beyond just Auburn and trying to get bragging rights and trying to keep your postseason hopes alive. But we keep going back to penalties. I think this is a game where Texas A&M's discipline issues are really going to shine, because you think Auburn's got discipline issues, Texas A&M's are even worse. Texas A&M averages over 20 more penalty yards a game than Auburn, 69-48 to be exact. And when you're in Jordan-Hare, you know this is an upset alert. You know there's a lot riding. You know you gave Auburn locker room material by saying Texas in the press conference. We're probably going to see some recklessness from Texas A&M here, and that's something that Auburn's really going to have to capitalize on.
I'm okay with them going reckless. Let them be reckless, and let
it only helps the Tigers.
Let Auburn play disciplined ball, and that will be the difference in the ball game if that happens.
If this 2.5 spread is at all indicative, you're absolutely right. Things like that will make or break this game.
Yeah, I'm just looking forward to Auburn building on the success of this last week, especially the mistake-free ball. That made all the difference. I mean, you know, our season has been mistakes and turnovers.
Right. So if you can trip the Aggies up here, you would be essentially killing their playoff argument. You'd be quote-unquote killing South Carolina's, assuming they even have one.
Puts us one game from bowl eligibility.
Yeah, so that gives you all the more of an incentive to play spoiler again going to Alabama. Because if you go into Tuscaloosa and you beat the Tide, all of a sudden – they're not looking so hot either. So, you know, when it comes to their playoff push. So
yep, we've run their season more than once.
Yeah, yeah. Auburn is no stranger to playing spoiler for Alabama. So I do. I look at this and I think with what you can do with this win, how it can carry over into the Iron Bowl, this might be one of the most important games of your season. I do believe that. And it's very much winnable. It's just a matter of if you're going to win it. As you said, we're going to have to see if that perfect discipline carries over. We're going to have to see if the special teams are not a problem, because we talked about, hey, if Texas A&M's reckless, that can decide this spread here, and that can decide the outcome of the game. Well, if Auburn misses a field goal or two, that could decide the outcome of the game.
Well, that has decided the outcome of a couple of games for
unfortunately,
us this year.
Yes.
Missed field goals and turnovers in the red zone. It's
right.
Those are mistakes. Those are mistakes just like having penalties and throwing interceptions. They all hurt.
Yeah, you're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And, Bill, we talking about this Texas A&M defense, because you had mentioned that in passing earlier. I want to go back to that. What scares me about them is not just, oh, they're a physical team, big team. Of course, you expect that from A&M. You know, ever since they bought that top class a few years ago, why would you expect anything less? But A&M, their defense is not only tough on paper, it's very capitalistic. They have 11 interceptions this year. And when you put them up against a quarterback like Peyton Thorne, who, while looking great against ULM, has had a very bumpy season with ball control, that's a huge concern, but I'll take it a step further. Then you've got Texas A&M's QB, Marcel Reed, dual threat. Those are the top two things, I think, as far as actually on-the-field play. Who's the better team? That's going to be the two biggest question marks I've got for Auburn in this game.
Yeah, Auburn's defense, if we can shut their passing game down and make them one-dimensional, that just makes things better, obviously.
Right.
Peyton Thorne, you gotta look at their defense. The only reason they have that many interceptions is because their defensive line puts a lot of pressure on the opposing team's quarterback and forces their mistakes.
Yeah,
their defensive ends crash down. They're able to crash the pocket in. If our offensive line can hold together and play as well as we have in several games this year, and give Peyton Thorne that time to go through at least his first two progressions, it gives him the ability to not feel like he's got to force things to happen.
Right.
Every time he's made the big mistake and thrown either a pick six or just thrown a handful of interceptions, it's because he's been pressured and forced into making those errors. And now he's kind of regathered himself, and he's a little bit more disciplined, and he's more likely to just throw the ball to the sideline instead of trying to make something happen on the field and force the issue.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's been instilled in him.
That's what A&M's defense makes you do because of the quality of their defensive line. It makes their defensive backs play better because they know
their ball's coming right to them.
Yeah. Well, they know they have an opportunity to catch a poorly thrown ball because of the pressure that their defensive line's putting on the quarterback.
Yeah. I mentioned Mike Elko coming from Duke. I don't know if I did mention that, but he's a good coach coming from Duke. Now you know. And in his short time there, that was a huge thing. Of course, we always heard about Riley Leonard, dual threat QB. Apparently, he specializes in those. But he also is known for he's a great defensive mind. And you're really seeing it with this Aggie team. So I look at Auburn, and since I've been rambling like a lunatic, I'll summarize my thoughts on it now. You're going to have some weapons to neutralize when it comes to Marcel Reed on the offensive side. And they do have a decent receiving core and a lot of rushing touchdowns to their name. But also, we're asking a typically limited Auburn offense to take control here with that pressurizing Texas A&M D. That's a tall order.
Yeah, these receivers are going to have to run crisp routes, and they're going to have to be in sync with their quarterback. We saw it happen last weekend.
Yeah.
We know it can happen. So, but
the talent's certainly there.
You have to replicate that this weekend. You have no choice but to replicate it this weekend, or it's not going to be a ball game.
No, you're absolutely right. Especially with this now being 4-6 on the year, got to win out to go bowling, backs up to the wall in more ways than one. It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. You can listen to us on 99.1 FM, 1330 a.m. and on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app. We'll take another quick break. When we return, we do have a loaded slate in the SEC, of course, as we get closer and closer to the end of the season. It's not just Auburn that's got great games with big implications. We'll touch on some of these games in more detail after the break.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Cochin 4 Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday, and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochin 4 Steakhouse, on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
War Eagle fans, the Big Auburn Football Watch Party is Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub downtown. O'Reilly's is home of the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club and the perfect spot to root your Tigers on. O'Reilly's with TV screens throughout the bar, delicious eats from pub bites to sandwiches, wings, football platters, and full meal fares. Quench your thirst from a huge variety of beers, beverages, and extensive bar selections. The Auburn Football Watch Party, Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub, 321 South Palafox Street, downtown. War Eagle!
Adam Schefter here with Vivid Seats. We've got some late-breaking news coming out of the stands. According to multiple sources, Vivid Seats fans are scoring rewards on every purchase and at a rapid pace. Obviously, these rewards are a game-changer, and coupled with their MVP-worthy ticket selection, why get tickets anywhere else? Don't drop the ball this season. Shop with Vivid Seats and earn rewards on every ticket. And as the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code Schefter. That's code Schefter.
Family adventures start at Legendary Marine on Bayou Chico for the first ever Boatvember Festival, Saturday, November 23rd. All day for a family-friendly day of fun on Bayou Chico. Games, face painting, food trucks, local vendors with holiday gifts to purchase. Find favorite boaters' gifts in the newly remodeled ship store with 20% off that day. Boat rides, hay rides, and a bounce house. Did you hear boat rides? Yes! Get on the water with Legendary Marine on Bayou Chico, 1220 Mahogany Mill Road.
Hey, if you own or manage a business in the greater Pensacola area, how would you like to get your business in front of men ages 25 to 54? Well, that's who listens to ESPN Pensacola.
Hey!
Okay, men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah.
Excuse me?
And Jill. Whether it be a radio ad with ESPN Pensacola or online through ADX Digital, we can come up with the best solutions for you. Get in front of men ages 25 to 54 and Sarah and Jill.
Woohoo! Yeah!
Just go to our website, ESPNPensacola.com, click on the sales opportunity.
Sunday in NFL play. The Lions take on the Colts at 11 a.m. Then the Eagles clash with the Rams at 7 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Cochin Forest Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. And brought to you by O'Reilly's Irish Pub. They're on 321 South Palafox Street downtown, and they are the home of the weekly Auburn football watch parties. Austin Price, Bill Clark here in the studio with you. And Bill, when we left off, I kind of hinted at some of these games that we've got here. A couple of upset alerts throughout the SEC. My only gripe is that you'll notice a few Southeastern teams here. They're infamous for this. They get on the phone and they call up not only a weak opponent, but they schedule them right before rivalry week. That's always been an intentional practice that the SEC does, and there are several teams doing it now. So that kind of puts a damper on this segment, but it's okay because it's made up for by some of the iffy games we got. And personally, I think the iffy games start early, 11 a.m., Ole Miss. Ole Miss is number 9 in the country, 8-2. Obviously, I think the committee is saying, hey, if you win, you're in. You beat Georgia by 3 possessions. Now you're going to Florida, and Florida's playing for a bowl game, something nobody expected after a double-digit win over LSU. Is this an upset alert in your eyes?
Absolutely, especially with it being a home game at Florida.
Yeah, right before the Egg Bowl.
Exactly. It's a matter of how prepared they go into that game. Ole Miss obviously can put up a lot of points. Lane Kiffin offense, you know, is a points making machine.
Yeah.
The difference maker obviously is going to be the defense. Which defense steps up and controls the line of scrimmage? It probably go down to, in my estimation, this game's going to end up pretty much who has the ball last, the last possession.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So you have it being not necessarily a shootout, but you have it being neck at neck.
Yeah.
Who gets the ball last?
Yeah, 27-21, you know, 24-21, something
right.
Like that.
Ole Miss only favored by 10. That should tell you that, Florida has won people over. They're not messing around. They are tricky, as you said, in the swamp right before rivalry week. The implications are there for Florida to ruin the Rebels here. Don't know if it's going to happen, but it would be fun to see.
Yeah, the thing about Florida is they have improved virtually every week. So every week you get a better version of what they were the week before.
Right.
So this would be their week to maximize on that.
Also, just to remind you, if you haven't been keeping track of the Gators, to just put into perspective what's on the line here if Florida wins this game. Not only will they have a winning record and clinch a bowl berth, and let's be real, they're going to beat FSU, so they would clinch a winning season. Not only would they do that, but they would finish 4-4 in SEC play. So a team that had an SEC slate that included at Tennessee, Texas A&M, who's top 15, Georgia, Ole Miss, LSU, and at Texas, they did not finish with a losing record in conference play. That would be unbelievable. That is why I am a big supporter in Billy Napier getting another year. That's awesome. DJ Lagway has become a hero in Gainesville. So if the Hollywood Riders aren't striking currently, and they need some material. Watch this game. It looks like there's a big opportunity here. All right.
3 weeks into the season, they were talking about firing the head coach. Now,
yeah.
Now they've turned it around, and they're looking really good.
That's another thing. Your losses are to that Texas team that's a title contender, allegedly. Texas A&M, top 15. Miami, top 10. These aren't joke programs that you're losing to. And you took Tennessee to overtime in Neyland. But anyway, I can kiss the ground Florida walks on all day if I choose to. So let's just move on here. Massachusetts goes to Georgia. This is one of those games that's not poetic. This is one of those games that would not be a Hollywood story. Well, it would be if we were to see an upset here, but it ain't going to happen. Georgia officially favored by 42. To be honest with you, I'm surprised there's a spread listed for games like these. There typically isn't. Top 10 Georgia team hosting a 2-win UMass. Come on, man.
It is what it is.
You think they're going to cover the spread?
It's exactly what you see there on the paper.
For games like these, we can just say if they're going to cover the spread or not. I say they do. Sure, why not? Here's what's funny. Georgia's favored by 42, yet the over-under's 55.5. So, believe it or not, they don't have UMass scoring too much in that game. All righty. Tennessee, UTEP. UTEP is also a two-win Group of Five-level program. Tennessee also sitting there, 8-2 record, just outside the top 10, bottom end of the playoff bracket right now. They're favored by 41.5 over the Miners. Seems fair enough.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
I don't see this being much of a – there's no real competition in that game.
Now, here's one that you and I, at least during the break, seem to disagree on a bit. Texas hosting Kentucky, and you think if Texas isn't careful, this could be an upset alert, correct?
Absolutely. Kentucky has had flashes this year.
Right.
I mean, we've talked about their game against Georgia more than once. They held Georgia to, what, 9 points? They just haven't been able to
13.
Match.
That was
okay, they haven't been able to match their opponent in the ability to score. But if Texas is looking past them towards this Texas A&M game, kind of the way I was thinking maybe the Texas A&M coach is looking past Auburn.
Yeah.
This could be an upset game for them.
Well, and hey, the pieces are there, right? As you said, it's right before a big rivalry. Texas is having to go on the road to face A&M. I know Auburn beat Kentucky head-to-head, but hey, they're both 4-6 teams, well-coached, having to keep fighting to stay in the bowl eligibility hunt. So who knows? Maybe Kentucky stuns them. As you said, this is a Kentucky team that can compete with Georgia, that can beat Ole Miss on the road, but they also lose to Auburn and get ran off the field by Florida. So you just don't know what type of Mark Stoops Wildcats team you're going to get. I don't think Kentucky is good enough to win this game. I know Texas is unproven. There was like a – it went viral. It was a shot of ESPN Analytics breaking down Texas's quality wins. Their quality wins are over Vanderbilt and Arkansas. That is – those were the teams that were listed. Unreal. Anyway, I don't think Texas is – I guess they're going to get another quality win here. I don't think they're going to struggle too
much. Well, Kentucky has nothing to lose. Texas has everything to lose.
Exactly. That is true. But Texas favored by 20.5. I think they win this game and – they're like, yeah, SEC for what? It's not that tough. And people are going to be like, dude, you didn't play anybody. South Carolina. Now, here's a scrappy bunch. The South Carolina Gamecocks, 7-3, as we mentioned earlier. They're 18th in the country. Seems like they've got like a 2% chance of making the playoff, but that's better than no chance. They host Wofford. I don't think this is going to be the game that makes or breaks them unless they lose. But this is one of those games that, as I said earlier, South Carolina does not currently have a spread listed. So let's just say they're favored to win by a lot. I'm assuming you're in that club?
Absolutely. Yeah, this game doesn't move the needle either way.
No. All right, Louisiana Tech going to Arkansas. Now, Arkansas is favored by 22. I'm looking at the records here. Louisiana Tech is 4-6. Arkansas is 5-5. Maybe an upset alert?
What's the spread?
22 for Arkansas.
I don't see Louisiana Tech winning the game, but I can see them covering the spread.
Yeah, Arkansas this late in the season, I think they may just be looking to coast past this team and get that bowl eligibility they're fighting for. I don't know. Louisiana Tech's been a struggling program for years, and we always have to remember, hey, you got 4 wins, but you're week in, week out facing weaker competition than Arkansas is. Arkansas just gave Texas a scare. I would not be surprised if Arkansas is just looking to kind of glide over this one. You win convincingly, but you don't try to rub their nose in it. As you said, they'll win by a lot, not by as much as 22. You just beat them by, I don't know, 16 and keep moving. Number 23, Missouri, so fraudulently ranked. They go to Mississippi State. Now, Mississippi State is winless in SEC play. They are 2-8 on the year. Easily the worst team in the SEC. Missouri's only favored by 7.5. That should tell you why Mizzou shouldn't be ranked. But do you think this is an upset alert?
Not really. Missouri's just a better team. I don't remember ever seeing a Mississippi State team like this.
This is rough, for sure. And it's a shame that this downward spiral happened after the untimely passing of Mike Leach.
Yeah, the best thing they got going for them right now is their cowbell.
Yeah, we'll deafen you. Mississippi State's one of those teams that has also played teams tougher. They played Texas kind of tough early in that game. They played Georgia tough. They played Texas A&M tough. They only lost to A&M and Georgia by 10 points each. Those are competitive ball games. So I don't want to pretend that Mississippi State's going to get ran off the field here, but I think Mizzou will probably cover the spread, and Elijah Drinkwitz will once again come out and say, we're still in the hunt, and you're not. Alabama going to Oklahoma. All right, we've been talking a lot about trap games and upset alerts. Going into the season, Oklahoma was coming off a 10-win year, and Alabama was still in a state of uncertainty with Saban gone. This was looking like an absolute upset alert. Truest form. Oklahoma is now 5-5. They have one win in SEC play, and Alabama is number 7 in the country, and nobody seems to be questioning that. It seems like they've really won the hearts of everybody that's watched them play. So, Alabama favored by 13.5. Do you think they cover?
I think they cover this game.
Yeah, I think 13.5 point spread is a little bit disrespectful, if I'm being honest. I think Alabama, I think the score prediction I had for this game was 35-13 or something. I got this being pretty convincing. And then we've got Vanderbilt and LSU. All right, so this one, I think America wishes it had bigger implications nationally, but these teams are just both 6-4. Neither of them are ranked. LSU, home team, favored by 8. Do you think if LSU loses, this could be a dagger to Brian Kelly's job security?
It could be. LSU fans, they've gotten rid of better coaches before for less.
Pun intended this, there, less miles.
Yeah, this is – I see this being like just a all-out brawl, slugfest.
Yeah, this is going to be one of those games that – nationally, nobody's looking at, but if you come across it on your TV, you're going to want to watch it.
Well, it's a night game in Death Valley, so.
And that's why I've got LSU winning.
But Vanderbilt has looked good, just as good on the road as they have at home. They came into our house and played a hard-fought ball game. So I see them being competitive. I don't know that Vandy's going to win this game. But it is going to be a competitive, fun-to-watch football game.
Yeah, Vandy, I have them losing simply because they're at home. I think Vandy has done a great job, just because LSU's at home. I think if Vandy were in Nashville, this would be a far more competitive game, and it would look all the better for Vandy because the whole narrative of, anybody can win in Nashville, that's died this year. Vandy's clearly a good team. If you can beat a top-ranked Alabama in Nashville, you can beat anybody there. So going to LSU, I think, is going to be the difference maker. I agree with LSU being favored narrowly. But I also think that's a testament to just how flawed LSU is. You're listening to War Eagle Weekly every Thursday from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Just about 10:50 here. We'll take one last quick break. When we return, we'll look at some of the bigger games in the nation. And, Bill, you and I have the same score prediction, exact same, for the Auburn A&M game, but we do have different winners. So got details on that and more coming up. You can listen to us on ESPN Pensacola 99.1 FM 1330 AM or on your ESPN Pensacola mobile app.
Hi, I'm Rachel with Cochran Four Steakhouse. For 45 years, we've been an owned and operated three-generation family business. We welcome every guest that walks through our doors as an old friend. We're open from 5 to 9 on Wednesday and Thursday and from 4:30 to 10 on Fridays and Saturdays. Saddle up to our bar and get a half-pound burger with fries and a beer for just $11.95 every day before 6:30. This offer is only available in the bar and cannot be combined with any other coupons, discounts, or specials. Cochran Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across the street from the Speedway.
War Eagle fans, the Big Auburn Football Watch Party is Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub downtown. O'Reilly's is home of the Greater Pensacola Auburn Club and the perfect spot to root your Tigers on. O'Reilly's with TV screens throughout the bar, delicious eats from pub bites to sandwiches, wings, football platters, and full meal fares. Quench your thirst from a huge variety of beers, beverages, and extensive bar selections. The Auburn Football Watch Party, Saturday at O'Reilly's Irish Pub, 321 South Palafox Street, downtown. War Eagle!
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
man. I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text Sizzle to 42424 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total Tea, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text SIZZLE to 42424. That's Sizzle to 42424.
If you're struggling with ED or your performance is down and your belly fat is growing, listen up. You've got one life. Now is the time to act.
At Wave Men's Health, we're not just healthcare. We're your secret weapon. Don't wait another day. Here's why you need to act right now.
Every moment you delay, your condition could worsen. It's not just about sex. It's about your heart, your relationship, your life.
Wave Men's Health has years of proven results for low testosterone and increasing drive, energy level, and performance. We've introduced ED and enhancement treatments so exclusive, you'll wonder why you waited.
Procrastination is the thief of time. When it comes to your sexual health, you can't afford to wait. Join the league of gentlemen who've walked out of our doors with a swagger.
Call Wave Men's Health at 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Book your $99 male performance consultation now, including blood work. Call 850-266-7020 or visit wavemenshealth.com. Wave Men's Health, making it happen.
You want it? You got it.
NFL football on ESPN Pensacola. Today, the 8-2 Pittsburgh Steelers rumble with the 2-8 Cleveland Browns at 6:30 p.m. The Steelers are number one in the AFC North. The Browns hope to put a dent in that record. Catch every pass, every play right here on ESPN Pensacola. Today, an NFL play. The Pittsburgh Steelers clash with the Cleveland Browns at 6:30 p.m. on ESPN Pensacola.
It's War Eagle Weekly every Thursday morning from 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. right here on ESPN Pensacola. Brought to you by Coaching Four Steakhouse. You can find them on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway. And O'Reilly's Irish Pub. They're home of the weekly Auburn football watch parties. They're located at 321 South Palafox Street, downtown. Austin Price and Bill Clark here in the studio with you as per usual. Bill, when we left off, we were talking about some of the games swirling around the SEC. A lot of upset alerts, it looked like. And we've got some more of those here nationally, and they kind of start early. So I'm going to just tell you one that I have. Well, first of all, we got to touch on this game, not only because it's an 11 a.m. kickoff, but it's the biggest game of the weekend. Number 5, Indiana at number 2, Ohio State. Ohio State favored by 13.5. Indiana trying to stay unbeaten. Similarly to the Texas A&M game coming up in a couple weeks, this game has pivotal implications in both the Big Ten and the playoff.
This is that game that's kind of like the Kentucky game to me. It's
really?
Indiana has nothing to lose. Ohio State has everything to lose.
I don't know. I think Indiana has a lot to lose because them already being below Penn State, that upsets me. But I think that's the committee's way of saying, listen, man, if you lose this game, you're going to drop to where you're in a gaggle of two-loss SEC teams. You don't want to be in an argument where you're trying to beef up your resume against those guys. I think Indiana has I think they have a lot to lose here.
I don't know. I just look at it differently. You know, they're in a position that they're not familiar with.
Yeah, on the road.
So, and they're on the road in the what do they call it?
The horseshoe. Shoe. The
yeah.
Shoe. Yeah.
I just look at Ohio. I'm not impressed with Ohio State. I am impressed with Indiana.
Defied some serious odds.
Absolutely. They're just playing solid ball. I haven't watched that much of them, but what little bit I have watched, they look good.
9 of their 10 games have been decided by double-digit margins. They have beat up on everyone.
Yeah, they're obviously ranked and undefeated for a reason. They're a good ball club. So I see them going into Ohio State ready to pin their ears back and get physical and play a good ball game.
I have Ohio State winning the game, but I don't have them winning by 13.5.
I don't like that spread at all.
I've got
even if I was going to pick Ohio State, I don't like that spread.
Yeah, I've got it like an 8-9 point game, something like that. This is an upset alert for me. Number 13 SMU goes to Virginia. Virginia playing for a bowl. SMU, they're riding high, firm first place spot in the ACC right now. And Virginia has proven that they're a competent team. They were able to beat Pitt a couple weeks back. So this isn't a team to sleep on, especially when you're visiting Charlottesville. You think SMU's in trouble here? They're favored by 10.
I don't believe so. I see them covering the spread on this one.
I hope you're right. SMU's a great story this year. And being 13th as a one-loss team, and their only loss is by 3 to a ranked BYU, clearly the committee doesn't really believe in them. So I'd love SMU to prove everybody wrong. All righty. Number 4, Penn State. Going to Minnesota right before you're hosting rival Maryland for Senior Day. You have no room for error, yet you're going to a 6-win Minnesota. Minnesota and P.J. Fleck, they're tricky, especially in Minneapolis. You think there's a problem here? Penn State's favored by 11.5.
It's a home game for Minnesota, so you got to give them a little bit of an advantage with it being their home field.
Right.
I don't see Minnesota upsetting Penn State, but I do see them covering the spread.
Yeah, man, I'll agree with you. I mean, that's a tough one for me to call. I'll take Penn State, but, yeah, I agree with you. They do not cover. Number 14, BYU going to number 21, Arizona State. BYU's in some trouble now. They had their first loss of the season, and they're already 14th. So the committee really doesn't believe in them. Very controversially below SMU now. They go to a number 21, 8-win ASU. If they win this game, they'll be back in the committee's good graces most likely, but ASU favored by 3 in Tempe. Who do you got?
I like the home team.
You got ASU? I do as well, and I think they win by – I think I had them winning by around 4. So they'll win by about as much as they're favored by. Number 16, Colorado. Speaking of pivotal Big 12 games, they go to Kansas. If there were ever a title for the best-looking 4-6 team, Kansas would have it. They beat Iowa State. They beat BYU. They now host Colorado, and Colorado's got a lot of media hype, a lot of distractions. Do you think Kansas can stun them here? Colorado's only favored by 3.
I like Kansas in this game. For exactly what you just said, I think Colorado is going to be distracted with all the discussion about what's going to happen with Prime and his son
right.
when the season's over. I think they may be looking past the end of the season, and it may catch them right here.
I got Colorado, but I got them close. And then lastly here very quickly, number 19, Army at number 6, Notre Dame. Notre Dame favored by 14.5. What do you got, Army, man?
I have Army
out of sheer hope. The actual score prediction I had was Notre Dame by 20 points, but I want Army to win.
I love this game. Outside of the Auburn game, this is the biggest game of the weekend.
Yeah, neutral site game in Bronx, or in the Bronx, rather. All righty. Finishing touches here, Texas A&M, Auburn. Who do you have winning? By how much?
I have Auburn winning 27-17.
And I've got Texas A&M winning 27-17. So we'll see who is right next week. Next Thursday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m., War Eagle Weekly, brought to you by ESPN Pensacola, Coach and Four Steakhouse on Pine Forest Road across from Five Flags Speedway, and O'Reilly's Irish Pub, 321 South Palafox Street, downtown.
You're listening to ESPN Pensacola, 1330 AM, 99.1 FM. All sports, all the time. WEBY, Milton, Pensacola.